sleeping arrangements go, Anna and Holly already claimed the chamber attached to my own. We might need to have Walter convert a nearby room into another attached one for you. Unless you plan on sleeping in my room every night. Carla snorted at that and stood up. Not if I can help it. Until then, Master. Nodding his head to that, Alex couldn't disagree. It'd be best if she slept separately. He planned on having a great many deals made, a number of which would require an empty bedroom. Speaking of, Alex muttered. Getting up, he unlocked the trunk and opened it. Valeria lay curled on her side, her face matted with sweat. How you doing in there? Alex asked. She looked uncomfortable. He imagined her knees, back, and shoulders were aching from the confined space. He had let her out each time they had stopped on the way to take care of her needs and catch a breather, but otherwise she'd been confined to the box. Sleeping had been the one exemption to this, but he imagined that had been just as uncomfortable. She'd been bound at the wrists and feet, trussed up like a hog, and dumped into the carriage by herself. The shackle around her wrists clanked as she lifted her head to look up at him.
Hot. Thirsty. Are we there?
She asked, her head slowly coming higher to peek out of the trunk. Yes, we are. I'll have you transferred to your cell in a moment, and then we can have a chat about your future. It might be a good time to consider your position, what you want, and what you're willing to give, Alex said seriously. Valeria looked around the courtyard for a few seconds, then looked to him. She nodded her head, then laid it back down in the trunk. Closing the trunk gently, Alex relocked it and sat back down on it. He'd need to have two of his dungeon guards bring it in when he got the chance. Anna and Holly vanished into a keep door, trailing along behind one of Walter's people. No time like the present, I suppose. Looking around, he saw another one of Walter's people and waved him over. Sir, said the young man, coming to stand in front of Alex. Send a missive to Sylvia Griffin that I've returned and await her company, Alex said, honoring his side of the bargain. Also, could you have Douglas come see me? I need to have this trunk moved. Moving through the hallway that ran along the line of cells, he didn't announce his presence to Riley. She'd not see Valeria going by, nor Alex's return. Put it up against the wall for now and leave it there. I might have a use for it in here later. After that, consider this a standard prisoner cell, with one change. If she asks for a meal, we'll need to provide her with whatever a standard meal is for a local, decent quality inn, Alex said to Douglas. And if she does, you'll need to keep track of it. A simple tally system will do.
Understood, sir.
Great. Anything I need to know? Did Juan do all right? Any concerns, problems, or questions while I was gone?
No, sir. She did ask often where you were. We followed your orders and provided her with baths, and made sure to add extra fruit and vegetables to each meal, both to be given with your compliments. We checked in every time to make sure she had all she needed, and instructed her it was by your orders.
Good, good. All right. Thank you, Douglas. I'm going to break this new one in. I may or may not have order changes for you after this. Oh, and before I forget, Lady Griffin will be returning. Please reinstate her accommodations to what they were previously.
Of course, sir. Glad to have you back,
Douglas said, bowing his head. Then he left, going through the same hallway they'd used to get in. Alex unlocked the trunk, then left the cell. He pulled the iron gate shut as he exited and locked it. Come on out, Valeria. You're home, Alex called. Creaking on its hinges, the lid to the trunk opened cautiously. Alex watched as Valeria's head came up, her hazel-colored eyes flitting from one side of her cell to the other. You're alone, and no one will harm you. If you come on over this way and put your wrists through the bars, I'll unlock the shackles, Alex said. Taking several steps back, he put himself at a distance from the bars. Valeria looked to him, then slowly got to her feet. Her hair was a wild disarray of what could only be called a rat's nest, and her tunic was rumpled and sweat-stained. Stepping out of the trunk, she stretched one way and then the other. "That was unpleasant," Valeria said, her tone neutral. "I'm sure it was. We can always use it later as punishment. Or a reward," Alec said with a smile. Now that he had her where he wanted her, he could start curbing her personality to fit his desires. Part of that would be indulging her needs and wants, which could very well include being locked in the trunk for all he knew. Given her personality, it was a possibility. She walked over to him and stuck her arms through the bars. "Come closer. Get yourself pressed up to the bars and stretch out as far as you can. I'll not be giving you the possibility of catching me." "Sorry," Alec said. Complying, Valeria squeezed up against the bars and held her arms in front of herself. Smoothly as he could, Alex unlocked the shackle and pulled it away from her before she could take it into the cell with her. "Well, the rules here are pretty simple," Alex said as she drew back into her cell. "You'll be fed regularly, given all the amenities you'll need to survive, and be left alone. No harm will befall you, no one will hurt you, and no one will contact you," Alex said. He paused for a second, contemplating if he wanted to offer her anything.
"And the deals will be like the last one? You'll offer me things and I can say no?"
Valeria asked, inspecting her bed. "That's right. The deal for your meals will continue, of course. The last unpaid tally we had before we left was 4 meals. So 12 swats?
Valeria nodded her head, but otherwise didn't respond.
"Good. Now, before I go, I'd like to make you a deal, if you're willing."
"Of course,"
Valeria said, vanishing behind the privacy screen to probably inspect her bathroom, as it were. "I'm willing to offer you the chance to have a hairbrush and a couple changes of clothes. A mirror as well," Alec said.
"I definitely like all of those," she called over the screen. "But what's the price?"
"You have to swear an oath to not harm myself, yourself, or anyone in my household. You also have to swear to not make any attempt at escape. Fairly simple things, really. It'll also make our deals moving forward much easier to conduct."
Those do seem prudent.
"Yes, I'll swear to all of that, on my soul and life, to Leah's name, on our previous bargain." And there it is. "Wonderful. I accept and swear to the oath as well. I'll have everything brought in for you shortly. Now, I need to be going, unless there's anything you need?"
"No."
Alex left her cell and headed back to the dungeon guard post. He turned over the shackle to them and made arrangements for Valeria's new needs, then entered the corridor that ran through each cell. Walking through Sylvia's cell, he glanced in to see a guard giving it a once-over and seemingly making sure it was as it should be. Alex nodded to the man and entered Riley's cell as quietly as possible. With any luck, he'd catch her sleeping, though the morning had passed a while ago. It was much closer to lunch now. Riley's head jerked up from her seat at her table. She was sitting in her uniform, doing nothing at all. Before she could start stripping, Alex smiled and held up a hand. "Good morning, Juan. No need to strip this time. You weren't expecting me, and I see you're wearing your lovely uniform," Alex said, coming up to the bars.
"Master, it's good to see you. I hope everything went well," she asked, bouncing up from the table and moving over to him at the bars.
Her enthusiasm to see him was definitely a good turn of events, though it felt slightly ahead of schedule. He'd left her alone on a positive note and set up a number of gifts for her in his name in his absence, but even then she seemed genuinely happy to see him. That, or she'd seen such little kindness in her life, that even the small bits he'd given her were more than she'd ever had. "As well as can be expected when dealing with our toad of a king," Alex admitted with a smile and a sigh. "In the end, I was forced to take a wife.
Otherwise, everything is as it was.
She could use a compliment right now, I bet. When we left, we had just converted her over to her new persona. She's had some time to live in it. Seems like it's fitting her well. Let's encourage it.
Now, hold on there, Alex said in a curious tone. Leaning back, he gave her a once-over. You certainly look much better all in all. The bruises are all gone, and you look like you have a much better coloring to you. And you definitely fill out that uniform nicely, Juan.
Riley blushed deeply, looked to the ground, and clasped her hands in front of herself.
I think I've been eating more regularly than I did living in the city, she said.
One of her hands came up to toy with an errant curl of red hair.
The person you said would come cut my hair did. They just trimmed it up. Said they hadn't heard from you what you wanted it to be yet.
Well, you look good. Beautiful, even. And your collar really fits your neck quite well.
Would you lift your chin and show me your tag? Alex asked.
He made sure to phrase it as a request, not an order.
Riley lifted her head up immediately and met his eyes, her left hand cupping her tag and holding it out to him.
Ah, you've kept it clean. Good girl. How are you otherwise, Juan?
I'm good, Master. I'm good. Though I like eating as often as I get to, I think I'm very tired of eating the same thing every day, she said,
still holding her tag up to him. Alex smiled at her and gestured at the tag with a finger, indicating she could drop it.
I see. What else?
I've had my moon blood a day ago. I'm afraid I dirtied the sheets on accident, Master. The guards took care of it and were very polite about it.
But?
Alex waited, smiling encouragingly at her and leaning up against the bars.
I'd like to have a bath, but the guard said it wouldn't be available anymore when you returned, that you had given it to me since you couldn't be here. I think I could do the previous deal you offered me, now, for it.
Poor thing. Doesn't she realize that it means little if she wants it?
I'll consider it. Not sure what a bathtub will run now that I'm back. For the change in meals, though, are you looking for just different food or better food?
Riley looked shocked at his question, as if she hadn't even considered the possibility of better food.
Better food, Master?
Alex grinned in what felt to him a wolf-like way.
I'll upgrade your meals to what's served in a local inn and change the variety. But the price will be...
Riley was staring at him, her eyes a bit wider than they were previously.
Alex did his best to watch her as he started to offer the deal. He wanted her craving the deals to get more for herself, to look forward to them, even when he asked her to demean herself.
That you take training as a personal maid. I'll have you working with a keep servant to begin learning the roles and duties of a personal maid to me, exclusively. You'll even receive pay equal to the job. In addition, you'll be swearing to be celibate, to not touch another man or woman in any way that could even be thought of as romantic or sexual without my permission. You won't be leaving your cell just yet either, but I do need to find a use for you.
This time a carrot. Next time, the stick.
I swear, Master. I accept the deal and swear on the oath, Riley said immediately.
Good. Thank you, Juan. I'll think on the bath. I'll probably drop by later on, all right?
Yes, Master. Of course, Master. Should I make myself nude for you next time?
No. As much as I enjoy the view, it isn't needed. You look too good in your uniform. It'd be a waste. Wear your uniform going forward. We'll take each day as they come.
Until next time, Juan.
Alex gave her a tight smile, then headed for the door to Sylvia's cell.
Until then, Master, Riley called after him.
Without responding, Alex ducked into Sylvia's cell, then froze as the door shut behind him. Standing in the middle of the cell was the wraith he knew as Leah.
"Hello, Alex," she said.
"Ah, Leah, it's good to see you," Alex said, pinning his screeching thoughts into submission before they could give anything away. She chortled to herself, as if even recognizing his attempt for what it was.
"Your favor. I do believe it's time to collect on it," Leah said.
"Okay. I was wondering what the possibility would be of having a second crystal. One that I could offload other deals to for future months' debt."
"You're thinking of Eugenia, I take it?"
"Yes and no. I have no reason to make more deals this month, at all. In fact, my deals in your name will dry up faster than the desert until the new month. There's just nothing to compel me to do anything. There's no reason to offer more deals when I get nothing from it. No motivation."
The wraith paused, her head tilting to one side. "Yes, I can see how your mind views that, works it. Your wife triggered this thought in you with Holly's contract," Leah said.
"That's right, she did. Providing me with another crystal so I could preload my debt would make me work a month in advance."
"And yet no further than that after that. One crystal wouldn't change your thinking. No."
Leah stood there, unmoving. Then she suddenly snapped her fingers in a very human-like gesture.
"I have it. I'll give you a crystal column, as big as a grandfather clock. Whatever excess deals you commit to will fill it. If you were to turn it completely black, it'd be the equivalent of 12 months' worth of deals. What do you say to that?"
Alex almost resisted the urge to think about that. Almost.
"With that much leeway to work with, I'd be able to store a massive amount in advance. Though, I wonder, if I filled it completely, would she take something in trade for it and give me a new one?" "Oh, that's a good idea. Yes, I would. But we'd have to dicker on the price, of course," she said.
"Could you stop reading my mind? It'd be nice to have a thought to myself, and then convey it to you if I actually wanted to do it."
"Sorry. Bad habit. I can't promise anything, but I'll try."
Grumbling, Alex ran a hand through his hair. "Yeah, okay. I'll take that as my favor, then." Leah held out a hand to him. Without thinking about it, he shook her hand.
"We have an accord, then. Also, because I want you to live a long, happy life and earn me a number of souls and deals, I've taken care of another problem you had."
"Oh? And what's that?"
"The STD you had eating away at you. Marta, the whore, gave it to you. You already passed it on to Carla, who gave it to Holly," Leah said, deadpan. "I've already seen where you're guiding your deals, and do approve. With that in mind, I've changed you a bit. Only a tweak, mind you, but still, I changed you. You'll never catch an STD of any sort ever again. In fact, anyone you sleep with will be cured of their own. That's how strong your body's defenses will be. Consider it my blessing." Alex wasn't quite sure how to take that, but he was glad to hear it had been taken care of. He hadn't even considered the problem, although he clearly should have. "Feel free to go cure the world with your dick if you want, but I'd advise against it," Leah said with a shrug, then vanished.
Chapter 15.
"Alex," came a softly whispered voice.
Grumbling, he turned his head in the other direction and shifted deeply into his blankets.
"Alex,
We should probably start the day,
came the whispering voice again. No, he complained.
The sun will be up shortly. You said you were expecting guests today?
Anna said, pressing her lips to the inside of his ear. I'm the Count. Why do I have to get up before the sun?
Because you're the Count, Anna immediately replied.
Sighing, he opened his eyes to the gloom of his bedroom and turned his head. Anna was curled up against his side, naked and smiling at him. Last night had been awkward, painful, and altogether a strange experience. Anna wasn't one to hold back her thoughts and feelings, and apparently losing her virginity was not something she'd expected to be as painful as it had been for her. At least she seems as chipper as ever, even if it was a bit of a fiasco.
Good morning, my husband, Anna said, her fingers patting his bare chest. I look forward to trying again tonight. Mummy said the second time is better. Daddy didn't want to talk about it.
I imagine not. I sure as hell wouldn't want to talk to my daughter about losing her virginity, and if it'd be painful or not the second time. My apologies, Master Yules. Thank you for dealing with her for so long. Yes, we should be receiving a guest today, he said, ignoring her comment entirely. Her name is Sylvia Griffin. She's landed peerage at best, a step away from commoner status. I imagine she's been doing some dirty dealings in the background to try and increase her stature. Anna nodded slowly, her eyes round and wide as if he were telling her a horror story. She was caught, and here we are. I'll be trying her privately.
Are you going to turn her into a conquest?
I think so. We'll see. I could use her. Anna said, then puffed her cheeks out at him.
I'll sneak in when you're away and talk to her. People tell me lots of things. I know I'm not smart, but I'm not stupid.
Her voice took on a lower tone as she spoke, the first real deviation he'd ever seen in her. I wonder about that, and how self-aware she is. I think you're just perfect the way you are, wife, Alex said, poking her between the eyes with his index finger. And yes, please try to get what you can out of her. I think it'd be helpful. Now, you said we should start the day. Any plans? Anna gave him a bright smile, her demeanor switching right back to how it always was.
I'm going to take Holly and meet everyone we can in the keep to learn our new home. If possible, I want to head into town and buy some things as well.
Got it. Well, be sure to take Walter or one of his people with you so he can draw from my own account. I mean, what you're buying are things we'd be sharing, right? Only spend your dowry on things that are specific to yourself. Anna's face looked as if she couldn't smile any wider. She chirped and pressed her face into his chest, as if hiding from him. Unable to help himself, he smiled at her and patted her shoulders. Looking up from his new wife, he saw a large, multifaceted crystal in the corner, a massive pillar of a thing that stretched from floor to ceiling. It was tucked into a corner, and mostly out of the way. What the?
A soul crystal.
Constructed and fashioned by Leah, this pillar is meant to collect excess power and deals generated by Alex Britt. The maximum capacity of the vessel is 12 units of generated power. It is visible only to Alex Britt and Anna Britt. The entire thing was as clear as glass. He wondered how much it'd take to fill it. That and what would happen if a maid tried to clean that area. Anna, do you see that big crystal thing in the corner? Lifting her head from his chest, Anna shifted to one side. She took a moment to view the room, and Alex took a moment to view her naked body. Anna finally saw the crystal after she scanned the whole room.
That thing? Yes, I see it. What is it? It wasn't there last night.
Remember when you advised me to hold on to contracts until the next month?
Your comment gave me an idea, and I pitched it to Leah. She agreed, and then apparently provided me with that. It's supposed to hold up to 12 months' worth of power.
Anna nodded her head, then molded herself back into Alex's side.
Thank you, Leah,
Anna said, pressing her face back into his chest. For everything.
Alex smiled and bowed his head to Sylvia as she entered the dungeon lobby area.
I'm glad you returned, Sylvia, Alex said. It was still early morning, just after breakfast. Holly and Anna had set out immediately, Rudolph becoming their personal guard captain.
Of course, Sylvia said with a grimace.
Reaching into the bag at her side, she sighed, pulled out a large packet of papers, and handed it over to him.
Per our agreement, one of my people foolishly brought this to me practically as I arrived. I do hope your mercy is generous for one such as myself.
Taking the paperwork in hand, Alex looked at the top page. Then he snorted. It was all black book-type stuff, as it were, he guessed.
When the top page was a list of payouts, to whom and why, he could only imagine the entire thing was that way. And since she'd acted the way she had, these were probably all illegal payouts.
I'm sure we can come to an agreement, Sylvia. Come, let's take this to your room, Alex said, gesturing to the dungeon door.
Could we?
Sylvia paused, looking around at the guards around her.
She wants to make a deal already?
Huh.
Stick to the power play.
I'll be happy to sit, catch up, and talk about where we go from here. Let's return to your room for now.
Have you eaten?
Sylvia shook her head, her face pinched and her mouth a frown.
Douglas, bring breakfast for the lady.
Come, come, let's be on our way, Alex said, moving to the door and opening it for her.
Sylvia walked in with her chin up, her face clearing quickly. Regardless of anything else, she was still of the peerage, and seemed to believe her station was unassailable, even if guilty of crime. They entered her cell, went to her table, and both sat down.
Setting the packet down on the table to one side, Alex laid his hand on it.
I take it this will be more than enough to find you guilty beyond a doubt, Alex asked.
Sylvia sighed and looked up to the ceiling, as if for guidance.
And then some. I had the servant flogged to death and the body dumped. For all the good it did me, she said, shaking her head. To be perfectly honest, there's more than enough in there to have me stripped of my lands, wealth, and what little title my family holds.
Ah. And if you had to guess, how long would it take for me to sort through this and track it all down?
Alex didn't like the idea of doing that. He could play the game and go through with it, but this seemed like a whole lot of ferreting out people and secrets.
Years, if not longer, Sylvia admitted. That's enough to get you started, though, and then it'd just come down to how long it took you to unravel it. And due to the oath I swore, I cannot stop any of it. You really pinned me in with that one, Alex. I had no idea it would be as bad as it is.
Nodding his head, Alex could only agree. He personally never would have sworn it. It would have been too hard to not get involved.
I think this is a much longer conversation than I want to have at this time. Let's assume for the time being that you'll be my guest for a long while, Alex said.
A solid knock on the door got his attention. Turning to Sylvia, he smiled and held out a hand. She smiled sadly and shook her head.
Enter, she called out, turning toward the door.
A guard with a breakfast tray slipped inside. Carla came in right behind him. Smiling at his personal guard, he wondered how long she'd slept in her private room. He'd only tried marginally to wake her, then had simply gone about his day instead.
Sir, I have your morning letters. They arrived by courier, said the guard, setting down the tray in front of Sylvia.
Turning to Alex, he held out several sealed letters.
Thank you, Alex and Sylvia said at the same time.
Carla moved to the corner of the cell, her right hand resting on a short sword at her hip.
Sylvia, this is Two.
Two, this is Sylvia.
Two is my personal guardian. Sylvia is our guest for the interminable future, Alex said by way of introduction.
He flipped through the sealed letters one by one. Carla grunted at that, staring at the woman. Sylvia seemed perturbed when Carla didn't leave with the guard. "My lord, is she..." Sylvia asked, indicating Carla.
"She's literally my personal guardian. I trust her with my life, and have done so already," Alec said, setting the letters down in his lap.
"The king and a duke I haven't met. Great."
"Now, before I leave you to your meal, it seemed as if you wanted to discuss something," Alec said, smiling at her.
"I was..." Sylvia paused to look at Carla.
Discussing anything in front of her won't be a betrayal. Suffice it to say, two is sworn to my service," Alex assured her.
Sylvia nodded at that, her fingernails, now brightly polished and well manicured again, tapping at her tray.
"I realize this won't be over anytime soon. I was hoping to get better accommodations, perhaps the ability to meet with others, and even enjoy the sun on occasion."
"That could certainly be worked out. Let's start with the first piece, then, a better room. I do have a number of personal rooms set aside in the keep proper for guests such as yourself. Would that be acceptable?"
Sylvia pursed her lips and then nodded, her eyes moving to his own.
"Yes."
"Great. Now, seeing others. Are you talking about household members, servants, or just friends?"
"All of the above. I worry for my house while I'm here. Until you take it from me, it's still mine," Sylvia said.
"A fair point. And lastly, the sun. I take it you mean go on walks inside the keep. Perhaps a trip down to the city every now and then?"
Sylvia nodded her head again. Her eyes looked wary, her mouth flat, her hands now clenched in her lap.
She realizes those are all rather high-cost items. "How do we go about this?"
"Certainly. The room first, since that's easiest. I can provide the room. It comes with a tub, a lovely bed, and all the normal things you'd probably find in my own room. With that said, the price for such a thing would not be cheap," Alex said, contemplating the situation. Reaching over, he tapped the mass of papers she'd brought him. "I want you to tell me everything in this, or that you know of, that has the potential to harm me or my county. By harm, I mean to cause financial loss of a measurable quality, death or dismemberment, or threat to my rule, even if it exposes yourself and shows your guilt in part to the matter. In return, I offer the room and exoneration for anything you point out." Sylvia rocked back in her seat at that, her mouth opening and then closing.
"In other words, you'd have me become an informant."
"Not in so many words, but yes. Though I'll add another piece to my side of the deal, if it helps. I'll never betray you as the provider of the information, in any way, shape, or form. I'll devise a way to come across the information naturally, without your involvement."
Sylvia looked to the rough wooden bench they were sitting on. She scratched at it with a nail.
"What would a measurable quality be? That's rather vague."
"More than 1,000 gold pieces, I think, is a fair line to draw."
Sighing, Sylvia stood up and clapped her hands together.
"Then I agree and do so swear. Please, please take me to my new room. I don't want to spend another minute in here."
"Of course, Sylvia," Alex said with a smile, and stood up as well. "Of course. I accept your oath and swear in return. We'll discuss your desire to go on walks another day. For receiving guests, how about we simply keep to our previous agreement? You have to actively work to better me, my image, and my county when you can, as you're able."
Sylvia gave him a strange smile at that, then sighed and nodded her head.
"I can agree to that and swear it to my oath."
"Grand! Let's go see your room."
Closing the door behind him, Alex looked down the hall. Douglas's people had taken up guard duties in this wing of the keep after Sylvia had been moved up an hour ago. It was now as secure as the dungeon. Sylvia had settled in quickly. After Alex had shown her the room, she'd seemed quite pleased with it.
"Not gonna try to bed her?" Carla asked, standing at his side. "Not yet. Down the road, yes.
I don't think she'll be going anywhere anytime soon. I get the impression she's practically a crime lord in her circle. We'll pump her for everything she's worth first.
Then you'll pump her, Carla said, grinning.
Suppose so. Why do you delight in that, by the way? You seem to take pleasure in me using other women the way I use you, Alex said, then turned to walk down the hall to his own room.
Because they're nobles. Watching them squirm, then get put into your bed, warms my heart. Scum, the lot of them.
Alex quirked a brow at that, glancing over at her. I take it my peers aren't your favorite.
I've killed a number. They scream and offer all sorts of promises. We let one go once on a promise, she said, then growled, worst thing we ever did. The gods don't give us commoners the time of day. Oaths don't exist for us unless a noble gets it moving.
Indeed. Curious about that. Regardless, don't fret. It brought you here into my service, Alex said, reaching over to lay a hand on Carla's back. And I wouldn't have it any other way. Did you sleep well, by the way?
Yes, Master, I did. The bed was very comfortable. I'm sorry about sleeping in, she said, her face turning red. Either with anger or shame, he couldn't tell.
Don't worry about it. You did extremely well for me in the capital. Some allowances can be made, he said, patting her on the back, but not removing his hand. Slowly, he drew her closer to his side as they walked, his hand running along her and guiding her nearer.
Stop it, she grumbled, but didn't pull away.
Stop what?
That, your hand.
You stop it. You could move away. You're not under oath to let me touch you right now.
Ass? You want me to touch your ass?
No!
Gods, you're awful, Carla said, then swatted his hand away.
Smiling to himself, Alex pulled the letter from the king out of his doublet. Tapping it against his palm, he walked into his personal room as the guard held the door open for him. Looking around as he entered, he found it empty.
Go check and see if my wives are in, too, Alex asked, moving over to his desk.
They're not, she said, not bothering to look. I saw Rudolph and company in the center of the keep. I think Mistress Anna is sorting through her loot.
Alex rolled his eyes, not caring.
After slitting the envelope open, he pulled out the letter and read it over quickly.
Shit.
Apparently, Alex said, setting the letter down, the king has decided that as my family no longer holds a ducal title, as a count I should not report directly to him. My vassalage has been transferred to Duke Tanulf. On a hunch, he pulled out the other letters he'd gotten. He'd already forgotten the name on one of them, but he'd now bet it was Duke Tanulf. He set Holly's father's letter to one side and looked to the other. Duke Tanulf. Pushing the letter opener through the top, he opened it and pulled out the paper inside. Sighing, he dropped that atop the letter from the king. Duke Tanulf is coming to visit in the next day, give or take a few hours. Sooner, if he's coming from the capital. To receive my vassalage in person, no less, Alex lamented. Then he chuckled to himself. Care to bet he has an unwed daughter about my age?
Carla wrinkled her nose and then shook her head.
The games you nobles play are stupid, she said.
I couldn't agree more, but it is what it is.
I suppose it could be worse. The Duke can't rescind my count status, nor can he take it from me. I'll owe him the same taxes that were due to the king. Not much will change, except who tells me what to do, I suppose.
Carla shrugged her shoulders at that.
Well, so be it. Walter will probably be here in 30 minutes or so. I can tell him all about it then. In the meantime, I believe I offered to teach you your letters. Would you care to begin now? Alex asked, looking at Carla.
Really?
Yeah, we have some time. We can at least start with the basics.
Then, yeah, let's do that.
Chapter 16
They'd only had about 20 minutes of warning for the Duke's arrival. Alex had gotten nervous about the possibility of missing the man's arrival and had posted a number of sentries to watch the road from the capital. And all it did was reinforce my distaste for the nobility and validate my paranoia. Sighing to himself, Alex did his best to smile as the Duke's party came rolling in along the King's Road from the capital. He wasn't sure if the Duke was a fool, but by coming in this way, he was more or less showing Alex that, yes, he'd been involved in the King's plot, especially if he happened to have an unwed daughter or niece with him. Two was on Alex's left, Anna and Holly on his right. Behind him stood Walter, Rudolph, and Maxwell. Otherwise, the courtyard of the keep was empty. The ducal coach rode in, his guards peeling out in every direction, just inside the gate, but not crossing into the courtyard proper. A coachman, hanging off the side, dropped to the dirt and opened the door, bowing low.
"Duke Tanulf, of the Tanulf family," said the man.
"Here we go."
Bowing low, Alex did his best to keep the same smile on his face. Regardless of anything else, he was greeting his new liege lord. The better the man liked him, the easier Alex's life would be.
"Ah, Count Britt,"
said a voice heavy with age. Standing up, Alex laid eyes on the Duke for the first time. He was indeed elderly. He looked rather decrepit and seemed to be made of skin and bones.
"It's good to see you. I take it the King's letter reached you in good health," asked the Duke, bowing his head fractionally to the Count.
"Yes, Duke, it did indeed. His Majesty made it clear I was to become your vassal," Alex said directly. "May I end
good, good. I'll receive your oath of fealty and then be on my way. Much to do and very little time," said the Duke, interrupting Alex.
Somehow, Alex managed to keep his smile. Going down to one knee, Alex placed his right hand on his collar pin. "Wish I had studied the oath a bit more so I don't. I promise on my oath that I will in the future be faithful to my liege lord, never cause him harm, and will observe my homage to him completely, against all persons in good faith, and without deceit." Alex was quick enough that he managed to recite the whole thing as it sounded off in his head. The Duke nodded his head.
"I accept, and here are your orders."
The Duke reached into his doublet, pulled out a thick envelope, and handed it over to Alex.
"Good day,"
the Duke said, turning to clamber back into his coach. Getting to his feet, Alex looked at the envelope and then back at the carriage. Peeking out from the inside of it was what he'd feared and expected, a young woman around his age. Before he could get an idea of what she truly looked like, the door to the carriage shut, and the procession was off and rolling again.
"What a twat," Carla muttered, shaking her head.
"I think he has a penis," Anna said seriously.
Alex guffawed at that and patted Anna's hand where it rested on his forearm. "I think he's both a twat and a penis. I imagine his treatment of me was how he shows his displeasure. Pity for him, his rebuke only makes me angry and does nothing to my noble pride." Opening the envelope, Alex pulled out the thick wad of papers. The one on top seemed the most ominous, its flowing script clearly written for effect, not the dictated and copied words of a scribe. Reading it quickly, he held his breath. Then he read it again a second time. Unable to help it, he let out an explosive breath, then handed the whole thing over to Walter. "It would appear the Duke is going to war with a neighbor. My liege levies have been called up. I imagine the rest of the paperwork is the liege lord contract the King handed to him. Well, this is a mess. I only returned, and now in 2 weeks I'm being called to go to war," Alex muttered.
"That's okay, husband. I think 2 weeks is enough time to put children in Holly and I. Daddy always said it only takes once, and I should never dally with a man who wasn't my husband," Anna said.
with a smart nod of her head.
Thank you, Master Yules. Remind me to send you a special birthday present.
Walter and Maxwell were hunched over a desk, going through the contract word for word.
I imagine it's fairly solid since it came from the king, Alex said.
How about we give up on looking for a way out and simply deal with what we're going to have to do? We're wasting time at this point.
But, my lord...
Leave it, Walter. What's our responsibility, levy-wise?
200 men-at-arms, 300 conscripts, and 100 archers, Walter said, as if reading off a shopping list.
That would strip almost all our defenses and leave us with precious little to hold our county, Maxwell added.
Then we don't do that. The men-at-arms and the archers would be the hardest part, I imagine. The conscripts are mostly peasants paid in coin.
Almost entirely day laborers, no? Alex asked.
That's accurate, my lord, but we simply don't have the resources to recruit and train that many.
No, no, I'm not thinking of trying to backfill those positions we'd vacate. I'm thinking of simply hiring a vendor, Alex said, leaning his head back against his chair.
A vendor?
Maxwell asked.
A vendor. A mercenary company who has that force number on hand, which we could simply hire. If we're being honest with ourselves, the cost of training up and outfitting replacements for those who die in this war might very well be the same cost as hiring mercenaries. Or so I'd love to think. Maxwell, does that sound about right?
Well, it would depend on the company, but yes. There are a number of outfits that would fit price-wise and numerically. Truth be told, you might be right about the cost to outfit and train replacements, too.
Morale would also be heavily impacted, Maxwell said, working the thought through his own process.
Let's plan for that, then.
Maxwell, send your fastest riders to the company we want to hire. I concede your best estimation for the situation on whom, and let's get this taken care of.
Walter, outlay the amount of coin it would take to run a year's campaign in advance, and let's see where we line up financially, Alex said, his thumbs tapping each other in his lap. Beyond that, let's see if we can offset the cost of the company by offering them permanent employment in the guard afterward. I imagine at the end of this, there might not be much left of them.
Maxwell and Walter didn't say anything, causing Alex to drop his chin and look at the two of them. They were both staring at him.
"Something the matter?" Alex asked.
"No, sire. It's just that's rather well thought out," Maxwell said.
"Oh, thank you. If there's nothing else, I'm going to go visit my guests," Alex said, and stood up.
"Seems like I don't get any time to work on my projects," grumbled Alex as he headed down towards his dungeon.
People passed by him as he went, nodding to him or moving out of his way. He'd love to believe it was in deference, but he imagined it was due to the fully armed and armored Carla padding after him.
"Probably should hire another guard," Carla said as they moved.
"You're right, of course. I had wanted to use that as a means to get you into my bed more often.
That's a pity," Alex said, shaking his head.
"I'm sure you'll figure out something else to use against me," Carla said.
"Eventually."
"Eventually. My poor cold bed," Alex said dramatically.
"Anyways, let's see if we can't get two recruits to come with us on this adventure. I can keep working on my projects that way."
Carla made a rude noise and prodded him in the back with what felt like the top of her mace.
"Take one of your wives with us. That'd keep your bed warm."
"I don't think that'd be a good idea. I get the impression they're not cut out for such conditions. I'll leave them here to manage things. Between the two of them and Walter, it should be fine."
Alex passed by the dungeon guard checkpoint and went right in. Passing through Sylvia's now empty cell, he didn't stop. He entered One's cell and looked around.
One practically launched off her bed and came up to the bars, smiling at him.
"Master, I was worried. You didn't return when you said you would,"
Riley said, her hands curling around the bars.
"Sorry about that. Things came up and I lost myself.
I thought maybe your wife didn't like you coming down here,"
Riley said, watching him.
Huh?
Oh, no. I'm afraid I'll be going to war under the banner of the Duke of Tanulf. I wanted to run a deal by you to see what you do, Alec said, leaning up against the bars next to her.
I'm listening, Master, Riley said, her face moving to rest between the bars, staring up at him.
I want to let you have the chance to leave this cell for a time, to serve as my personal maidservant. You'll have to attend to all my needs that a maidservant would, and do so efficiently, without command. You'd have to swear to attempt no escape, and remain with me regardless of what happens, Alec said, tapping one of the cold bars with a finger.
This is odd, Master. This seems more like you're offering me the price before I get the reward, Riley said.
I suppose it is at that. What would you want in exchange for doing what I described?
Would I have to sleep with you?
Not initially, but I might make an offer later that you can always say no to, Alec admitted. But you'd have to sleep either in my bed or directly beside it. In a war camp, it wouldn't be wise to wander around alone as a woman.
Riley looked down to the ground, apparently deep in thought.
Could you pay me? And send the money to my mother and younger sister? Riley asked finally, her eyes coming back up to his.
I certainly could. I'll make sure you receive pay equal to what a maidservant in that situation would earn.
Riley nodded her head.
Then I agree, and swear it on our oath.
Grand. If you'll remember, I had planned to give you maid training. That'll be accelerated now. I imagine you'll be living and breathing your duties for the next 2 weeks until we leave, Alec said. Reaching into his pocket, he fished out the key for her cell and unlocked it. Come on then, one. Time for you to get squared away. As Riley attempted to leave the cell, Carla took a step forward and laid a hand on her shoulder.
I am two. You will listen to every instruction I give you regarding Master's security. Do you understand, one?
Riley looked up into Carla's face, then nodded her head.
I do.
Alex waved a hand at them, then indicated the door.
Go ahead and take her to the maids, too. Get her cleaned up, fed, and working. She has a lot to learn and little time to do it in. I'll be with our last guest, Alex said, throwing a thumb over his shoulder towards Valeria.
Carla frowned at him but didn't say anything. Instead, she grabbed Riley by the elbow and marched her quickly out of the dungeon.
Carla looked like she intended to take care of this chore as quickly as possible.
Alex turned and entered Valeria's cell, moving directly to the bars and peering in. Valeria wasn't anywhere to be seen.
Valeria? Alex asked.
A moment, came a subdued voice from behind the privacy screen. Alex shrugged his shoulders and waited.
A minute later, Valeria crawled around the edge of the screen and lay down on the stones. She was red-faced and panting. Her hair looked like a straw-matted mess, and her tunic was beyond rumpled.
"Are you well?" Alex asked, concerned.
"Sick. Had waxed poison pills in my stomach that I was holding on to, just in case I needed to die. After your oath to cause no harm to myself, I had to get rid of them," Valeria said, explaining. "One was apparently leaking."
"You were eating your own feces over and over? The waxed pills?"
"Yes."
"Huh. You're rather dedicated to your previous employer."
"Under oath."
"Ah, that does explain a few things. It also attests to your upbringing, doesn't it? You were once part of the nobility?"
"Yes."
Though I was wondering on that," Alex said.
With the key still in hand, he unlocked her cell door and went inside. Valeria peered up at him from the ground, her eyes fearful.
"Be still. I'll do you no harm."
Alex got the pillow from her bed, dragged a chair over, and sat down next to her.
"Up with your head now," Alex said, then wedged the pillow under it when she did so. "Now, let's start with the easy part of this.
What do you need to help pass the poison?
Water. Lots. Otherwise, nothing. It'll pass.
It's not long-lasting, and I didn't get much of it,
Valeria said.
Good to know. I'll have a barrel of water brought in. Next, why did your employer throw you away?
Valeria glared up at him from the pillow. No such thing happened.
It did. Forgive me, but you're not built for hand-to-hand fighting. You're clearly either eye candy, a diversion, or an instructor. What were you doing before this last job? No details or specifics needed, or even to betray your employer. Just your general job title.
Teacher, she said finally.
And had you ever done any field work before that?
No.
So either you were picked specifically for me, or you were no longer needed and tossed aside. Let's work through this a bit further. You had a dagger in your... in you. I assume that was how you were going to kill me.
Yes.
How were you going to escape? Valeria didn't respond. Were you ordered to use a blade as the means?
Yes.
And yet you were a teacher who knew how to carry poisons in such a fashion, seduce a target, and distract to the point of being able to operate effectively, and with the mental conditioning to eat your own shit.
Alex leaned forward in his chair and smoothed her hair back from her brow, then lightly began to massage her scalp.
You were ordered to put a blade in me, without the possibility of escape, when you had other opportunities to work with. And no one attempted to retrieve you after I made it obvious I'd caught someone.
No,
you were disposed of, Valeria.
Valeria closed her eyes. She said nothing.
Well, I find myself in need of someone like you. I'll not ask you to betray your previous lord in any way, but I'd like you to consider working for me directly instead.
Valeria snorted at that.
You trust someone like me? No, I'd bind and chain you down in oaths, like most of my peers, though we'd have clear, paid, and received for each deal. Just as we've done so far. Would you be willing to discuss terms with me?
You can say no. What happens if I actually do say no?
Nothing. I leave you here, go on campaign, and you remain in this cell until I return. Valeria finally opened her eyes and met his gaze.
Let's talk terms, then, she said.
I want you to go on campaign with me and operate as a teacher. Help me protect myself and teach me everything you know, but from a defensive point of view. Do this, and I'll expunge your death sentence, commuting it to a life sentence.
Need more.
Alex thought for a bit, then shrugged. Part of teaching me would, of course, be an oath to make no attempt to escape. All the previous oaths would remain active, so you couldn't betray me or my secrets, or attempt to harm me. With that in mind, I could change your cell to a private room in the keep. A room much like my own, to be clear.
Valeria's brow scrunched up at that. Need pay, she said finally.
Everyone seems to want pay lately, Alex grinned. And what are you worth?
5 gold every 3 months.
So 20 gold a year. I could agree to that, but I want more from you in exchange.
Valeria's knees came up, her hands pressing to her stomach.
What? You'll wear what I want you to wear. You'll let me be in charge of your hair and how you style it. And you'll take the name of 3 and respond to it. I'll be sure to add a lovely collar with your name on it. Oh, and call me Master, of course.
Valeria chewed at her lower lip.
I can promise to hurt you a bit whenever you want as an extra. A spanking here or there. A hair pulling now and again. Whatever you fancy, Alex said, grinning at her. Maybe bring the trunk along if you'd like to sleep in it at night in my tent. At the foot of my bed, maybe. Shackle your wrists and ankles. Gag you. Put you in my trunk, and keep you handy as a special treat for when I want to look at you. though you would have to swear to celibacy, to no contact of a sexual or romantic nature with anyone at any level, unless I give permission.
Time to test